question from Manjadas Gupta from Dubai, sent by Kishori Devi after the last Sharanagati class. And the question is, why is Krishna's mercy limited to only his devotees through his devotees?
Why is what?
Why is Krishna's mercy limited only to his devotees through his devotees?
Well, Krishna's not limited. Krishna can do whatever he wants. And there can be exceptional cases, but that's the rule that he sets up. And so, just like, for instance, some important person or businessman, he tells his secretaries, this is, the only way people are going to be able to come to me is they go through you, and they have to set up arrangement with you, and that's what he wants, that's his preference. So Krishna set that up. He sometimes can give mercy directly. It's like to Putana, he gave mercy directly, and perhaps to some other demons who weren't particularly qualified, or you can do that also to devotee, but usually it's through devotee. And through devotee doesn't necessarily mean that it has to come through devotee. It may be that Krishna gives mercy because of a devotee. In other words, because a devotee has a mercy of a superior Vaishnava, because he's gone through the process, therefore Krishna will give his mercy. In other words, he gives his mercy directly. It doesn't necessarily coming through the devotee. Otherwise, it's like Srimati Radharani sends Gop Kumar, and he's getting the mercy, not he's getting the mercy through Brahman, or Brahman gets it through Gop Kumar. Srimati Radharani's mercy, Srimati Radharani's saying, give it to him. And then it's the devotee who gives him out. But he may want to do it just on his own. But he's still giving Krishna's mercy. Delivering people and giving people Krishna prema. Krishna prema pradayate, only Krishna can give Krishna prema. But he gives it to devotees to give. So somehow or another, the point is that Krishna doesn't like the businessman or important person, doesn't like people directly approaching him or him having to directly interact. He has his system, and his system is his representatives. Vaishnava, Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, somebody. Something else?
This is also connected to mercy. Guru Maharaj, last Sunday you were saying that Krishna's instruction coming through the devotee is the most potent form of Krishna's mercy. And there is the verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita where the dust of the lotus feet and water that washed the lotus feet and the remnants of the devotee is the greatest form of mercy. And could you elaborate on why these three are considered the greatest form of mercy and not the instructions here?
These are if you can't get the instruction, these are the sort of the passive forms in which mercy comes. In other words, where you take it, and other people may, and very often may not, want to give it, but you get it anyway. So they become they're sort of special and unique in their own way, but what type of mercy they impart is not clear from Bhaktapada Duli, Bhaktapada Jala. It's not really clear what level or what kind of mercy someone actually gets. Mercy of instruction has unique characteristics that others don't. One is, for instance, that it's permanent. Once you eat the remnants of someone, it's gone. But it's not like that with hearing from a devotee. Once you hear, it's always yours. It becomes all that much better and all that much more powerful. So hearing has specific advantages. And of course, hearing means that you hear truths that are specifically relevant to you. You hear truths that are inspire someone to also give mercy to others. It's something that you can pass along. When you eat the remnants of the food, that's it. You can't pass it along. But this is something that moves on. So it's all mercy, but depending on how you see it, or from what feature you glorify it. Sometimes some are given extra emphasis because everything is unique in its own way. When something's unique in its own way, then they say, "Oh, it's better than all others," because in that way, it's better than all others. So, when they say a horse is better than all other animals, then that means in running a horse is better than all other animals, or a cheetah. But it doesn't mean that it's better than all. It's just that's how it's expressed.
And so, different forms of mercy give different qualification to the recipient.
Yeah. They can. Different types of mercy have different results. Yes.
And then Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Narada searches for the greatest recipients of mercy, then we see that the gopis receive a special kind of mercy.
That what?
When Narada Muni goes through trying to find a person who are the greatest recipients of mercy, Kripa Saranidana, then he reaches the gopis. He goes to different individuals who have received some form of mercy. But then he gets to the gopis, and that's his conclusion, that the greatest recipients of mercy are the gopis.
Yes. Yeah. Is that a question or?
Yes, the end of the question is, because I'm just trying to take on the thread of thought that there are different forms of mercy and they qualify for different things. And then the greatest form of mercy seems to be that
In terms of quality and in terms of quantity, because their love in terms of quality and quantity is the greatest, therefore the reciprocation from Krishna is the greatest.
Mm-hmm. But then it's not causeless mercy if it depends on the input of the individual also.
No, causeless just means that you're getting it you didn't do anything to get it, but that doesn't mean that it has no restriction or condition on it, or in terms of its quantity or quality. Putana got mercy, as I was explaining the other day. They're not. She went back to Godhead, but she didn't get the same mercy as the mothers who breastfed Krishna.
Yes.
Why? Because she was antagonistic. Of course, that was something that I wanted to talk, but I didn't have time to talk about, which was yesterday afternoon. I was writing that. It was so disturbing, I couldn't go to sleep. I was just thinking about it all the time. And that was the result of Vaishnava Parad, that my offense to Vaishnavas, Bhav, because usually Prema Bhaktis don't commit offenses, but Bhava Bhakti can. But then he can lose his bhav. His bhav can be demoted to get bhava-bhas. Or, in the best case, it depends. If it's a very severe offense, then you lose your bhav altogether. You're like back to adoshvara. If you lose, if it's medium offense, then you get demoted to Bhava Bhas. In other words, you become a sadhana bhakta, and you have the shadow, which comes and goes. And then, if it's if the lightest, Vishwanath says, if you're in Madhurya Bhav, you get demoted, your Stai Bhav goes down to Dasya. And if you're Dasya, you go down to Shanta. So your Stai Bhav changes. In any case, it's horrible. Just. Yadi Vaishnava Paradi Uti Hati Mata.
But you can't be thrown into an antagonistic.
Well?
You said the furthest you were thrown is to Adoshada. So that remains that faith?
I don't know. He just says that you lose your bhava. I just added that. He says you lose, it's destroyed. So you no longer have bhava. Which means, at best, you're a practitioner somewhere, or a sadhana bhakta, not a sadhaka, but a sadhana bhakta. So, yeah. So, and that's, but that's just an example of things that are graded. So everything's not like all one. There's variety, and there's variety in mercy, and there's variety in pastimes, and there's so much variety. Okay, Hare Krishna.